Your fellow Sagittarius, Jimi Hendrix, pretty much the ultimate Sag, especially for a guy. Jim Morrison, tied for first, but Hendrix has a famous song that that I learned early in guitar studies. Can't remember it, but it's called "Are You Experienced?" And he had the right question. He was speaking to what seems like a young woman, and he's saying, "You know, you're cool and all that, but my question for you is, are you experienced?" And this question of experience is at the very crux of your charts this year. It is the definition of success. It's the definition of experimentation. It has a lot to do with the concept of healing, which is largely flowing in through the most creative and daring angles of your chart. There is a lot on tap, a lot on offer for you as you begin a new solar year, which by all measures is an extraordinary solar year. First, though, before I go on, thank you and an apology both for putting up with this late reading. I'm now calling this the Sagittarius incident. We need to be a month ahead on these readings. So at the earliest possible occasion, which will probably be the Aquarius reading, possibly Capricorn, these have got to be ahead to be distributed for everyone's birthday on time. That said, as you know, I don't do these readings unless I am feeling rested and ready and as best as possible, under no stress whatsoever. I have to be prepared. I convey factual information to you through the chart, interpretive information, but also how I feel influences how you feel. Hence, I'm very cautious about doing any of this kind of work when I'm not really feeling in the pocket. And sometimes that can create a delay. That said, today was the day that I was scheduled and remain so to draft the written Sagittarius reading for the Somewhere in Between series, working my way backwards through the zodiac now. Got a bunch of signs done, kind of holding up a framework in the middle. And now I'm going to work my way back and land at Taurus in about a week or so. All right, so all that being caught up on, we're working today on the eve of the Sagittarius new moon now. So we've got the sun in Sag, the moon in Sag, Ceres, Mars as well, crossing the great attractor, the central feature in Sagittarius, this intergalactic deep space feature. Most of us have our great attractor, most of us old folks anyway, have our great attractor at about 12 to 13 degrees, depending. I'm 59, I have it at about 12 and a half. It only precesses, does not move by transit, it only moves based on the wobble of the Earth, which is indeed spinning and wobbling, and moves everything by 1 degree every 70, every fixed point, 1 degree every 70 years, including the great attractor and the galactic center. I absolutely love this time of year because the sun is passing between these two deep space points, one which is the vortex of 100,000 galaxies, that's right in the middle of Sagittarius, and then the humble, a small, local center of our galaxy, located a mere 25,000 light years away. Our galaxy has a black hole in the middle called Sagittarius A star. I love that name. It's A with an asterisk. The asterisk is a kind of a reference to some other branch of physics. Physicists have a sense of humor and a sense of irony, and also they're good symbolists. They're into symbolism, and it happens to be why, despite the current hate fest on physics, I continue to love and admire physicists, and certainly everyone I've talked to has taught me something. So the physicists tell us that there's all this stuff in Sagittarius, I think, is very much about the nature of the sign, this unusual depth, this strange cosmic quality that Sagittarius has, this unworldly, otherworldliness, the sense of being a visitor on the planet, this minor hint of extraterrestrial that I think many Sagittarians have. Certainly the ones who make a big impression on society always have that feeling of visitor. Hendrix particularly seems to have, you know, been the brother from another planet who taught everyone what an electric guitar was. They hadn't quite figured it out before he came along. So in terms of, the fundamental tension in Sagittarius charts right now is that there is so much happening. There is so much energy moving. There is so much power afoot and potential and absolutely lavish creative energy moving through a number of different houses in your chart. But the question is what to do with it, question one. Question two is related to the first one. What is the outlet? What is the mode of distribution of whatever ideas or concepts or business plans or words, images, or stuff that you make? I now feel fairly confident that at least, you know, half, three quarters of the people that I'm talking to are in some way involved in the gig economy. The gig economy requires everyone to be something of their own artist, writer, producer. It's now no longer, I mean, I guess there are people that work as bank tellers. I do see them every time I go to the bank, which I still do. And I like to be friendly with the people who are there 5-6 days a week, but most people are not quite doing something that stable 5 or 6 days a week. Your charts indicate that there's something much, much bigger going on than any kind of a day-to-day activity. And should you be in some kind of a situation where you're still in a day-to-day routine that does not facilitate your ability to be able to break away and do something and pursue a dream, follow inspiration, or make something with your own hands, I would suggest somehow finding a way to liberate your ability to do that. And I'm here to tell you that it will be worthwhile, certainly for personal fulfillment and expansion of your inner potential, but also because you're potentially looking at something big and that has the power to reach people and influence people, and also to be financially lucrative. And I would suggest that to be financially lucrative, you do not need to reach the masses. You do not need to reach millions of people. I realize there's a guy called PewDiePie who managed to reach millions of people by commenting on video games and is apparently a billionaire. We need to separate that from the fact that there are people who have successful creative enterprises on the internet and elsewhere, probably today more than ever, because so many of us have been compelled to figure out a way to make it on our own and make it outside of the structure and to be able to make a living as a musician without any possibility of being signed by a major label. It doesn't even seem to happen very much, but there's plenty of people who are able to do something relevant and worthwhile and support themselves doing it. And there's a variety of how-to questions with that. But I think that the how-to questions are very much secondary to your focusing and devoting yourself and to, you know, understanding what it is that you want to do. And as I thought through the astrology of this reading, a few times, it's come down to knowing what you want to do and who you want to reach without having it be over specific or over critical. The little blue circle with a line through it way up on the top of the chart, that's called Trans-Pluto. That's a hypothetical planet. I use a bunch of those. I have 9 different non-existent planets that I use. They're pretty informative for things that allegedly don't exist. And one of them that's in its own category is called Trans-Pluto or Isis Trans-Pluto. It's got nothing to do with Pluto. It is a calculated point, and it's early in its journey, by which I mean about 5 years in, through Virgo, which is your profession, career, aspiration house. And the caution that that Trans-Pluto is offering is not to be too critical and to work with specifics, but not to be too specific, to leave some random chance involved. And also it highlights the fact that there's this kind of joke about Sagittarians, of whom I've known many in a creative context. By creative, I mean that my bandmate and guitar teacher, Sagittarius, Jonathan Kaner, who I worked with for years as his understudy, his top stand-in astrologer, got very familiar with this creative process, lived in his living space. Lanvi, who you know, many of you know her artwork, a positively brilliant photographer. The old astrology books say, well, Sagittarians are not really concerned with the details. Don't bother them with the details. They want the big vision and the big picture. That's not true. What I find I have to counsel Sagittarians is, please don't be a complete fucking control dramatist. You've got to hang loose a little bit and ease off the brakes, ease off the critique, ease off of the defining success in a specific way, because there's many forms of success, and you want the one that's going to work, the one that fits the moment. And there are better ideas of success than you may have. Now, this tension between the broad sweeping vision and the specific control bit is the tension between Sag, taken in the first place, hypothetical ascendant in the solar chart and Sag rising, and Virgo in the 10th place, that being the most important house of reputation and aspiration, I guess said a different way, respiration. And that is saying, you know, breathe, basically. And Trans-Pluto adds the factor of specificity, and it adds a potentially narrow mental quality, and then it adds a lot of self-criticism. And so one of the reasons that I'm going on about all this stuff is that my suggestion is that, and I'm going to get into the specifics and the different houses in your chart and what each one of them look like. Mostly I'm going to work the bottom part of your chart from Sagittarius through Gemini. That's your first place all the way through your seventh, because that's really where the action is going. There's a Mars retrograde up on top. There's a Mercury retrograde up on top. Those are much later in the year. But the power is coming from beneath. The power is rising up from the ground. The power is within you right now. And I would trust that what you're doing is resonating with whoever. And I do understand how much audiences influence artists and how necessary it is for the artist to have the right audience, and for that exchange to be beneficial and all that stuff. But there's an important stage in all creative work and even business work, which says that it has to be about the task itself. It has to be about the creative process, regardless of what anyone might think. And that doesn't mean being cut off. You can be very well tuned in at this stage. But the thing to be tuned into is not anyone's real or imagined expectations, the thing to be tuned into is your own creative fire, your own kind of being with, abiding with your creative process, whatever form that may take, and being better at what you do. But also, I think, given the kind of radical nature of at least two astrological events, you know, we could look and find a lot more of them, but two just stand out as just absolutely outstanding. I could add a third one to that. Two of them involve Jupiter, your ruling planet. Stick with yourself here. Stick with your growth process. And I would add that not everything is about success. I'm fortunate that no one is you know, counting on my photography and my music for a paycheck. It's there are things I do for their own sake. I may be better or worse at them, but I'm certainly more free to work without expectations placed on me and without you know, rigid schedules or rigid specifications. And so, to the extent that you need specificity, to the extent that you need to be precise in some way, that is going to be a gift bestowed by one of the three major events of 2023, four rather. That is the conjunction of the solar eclipse to Chiron, exact to zero arc minutes. I can't even believe how precise this is. So let's that, and then I'm taking Chiron as an honorary ruler of Sagittarius. It's honorary because it's not on the table of essential dignities then, but nonetheless, it very much is about the questing aspect of Sagittarius. Notably, it has also an honorary co-rulership of Virgo, where it is about the healing aspect. This is your 10th. So all of this tension between the career house, aspirations, goals, reputation, and all that, and all of the visionary stuff coming from Sagittarius, all that deep space cosmic stuff flowing in and looking for a home, focuses and finds one in the 5th house, where on April 8th there is a conjunction, a very unusual conjunction of Moon, Sun, and Chiron at 1924 degrees. Exactly. It is impossible to have this. It is impossible to have a Moon-Sun conjunction exactly conjunct a comet floating around in interplanetary space. But the impossible is happening. And so I would add that to your list of things. Not a bad title for the written bit I'm about to do. The impossible is happening. The impossible is possible. Don't fall for this, low-level notion of what's possible. No, you probably can't get duck à l'orange at McDonald's, but everything else is possible. Okay, so let's see. I've got this reading blocked out in breaks. The next break comes up in about 5 minutes. So let's start with one house in this time. That's enough time to read one house. I'll go over if needed. So I've said a bit about Sag, and all of this galactic energy in Sagittarius. That finds its counterpart, punchline of the Sagittarius joke, in Capricorn in the second house. Capricorn, this realm ruled by Saturn, not by Jupiter, that is supposed to be, crusty and staid and conservative and dependent upon the past for all of its precedents. That's an interesting house to have as the second place of Sagittarius, because it is suggesting that there is so much grounding in traditional values illustrated by your solar chart before we even add any planets to it. Just the structure of the chart is worth studying. And you don't need to know astrology to do this. You need to know a little bit about the signs. That's easy to find out. And a little bit about the houses. That's easy enough to find out. But second house is about values. Also about resources, available cash, the tools of your trade, that which you can pack into the car and drive around with. That's the second house. It doesn't represent your home, but it represents your movable assets. Silver coins, toolkit, guitar, paintbrushes, and your abilities and your talents. And so the Lord in his old wisdom put this not very freewheeling sign covering your second place. So Sag is easily one of the more radical energies of the 12 basic archetypes. It's ruled by a centaur. Capricorn also has a little bit of that. It's ruled by a sea goat. The fuck is a sea goat? But look, hold the thought of the sea goat. But both Sag and Cap are ruled by these mythical beasts. Sag, the ever cool Chiron centaur, is the ruler. But then this other sign of tradition and conservatism, meaning conserving and preserving the social order, is your second place. Here's the challenge. Pluto's been through the territory now. Pluto has covered every single degree of Capricorn now. It's about to clear again the last degree and go into Aquarius. It'll come back and do the last degree for a third time in November, September through November. It is essential at this point that you be proceeding under the power of your own values system, your own priorities, not those of your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, their folks, aunts and uncles, the family system. The overall bottom line takeaway of Pluto having moved through Capricorn now since early 2008. We're now finishing the 15th year of this experience, going into year 16, if I got that right, or am I off by 1 year, is you must be completely independent of the values of others in terms of how you make your decisions, how you make your life choices. The trap that most people get into and that most artists get into, most creative people, most people with ideas, is that they get in a kind of a leg hold of what they think their parents would have wanted, their grandparents. And I'm saying now this is all about you and what you want. Music for today's reading by Boards of Canada, an ambient ensemble out of where are they? Scotland, actually. They're not Canadian, they like to do experiments with making digital technology sound like analog technology. So if it's a little weird, That is why. One last thought about the second house Capricorn angle. It's going to come back up when we get to the fifth. We're going to proceed through the houses to the seventh. Then I'll just sum up the rest. Is that the issue that everything seems to hinge upon, however you want to present yourself to the world, whatever you consider yourself to be, scholar, artist, tradesman, something, artisan, whatever, the question of appropriateness is one that you must completely take on board. The snares with family and with tradition, with parents, and what will Aunt Mabel think and all that stuff, it always comes down to, is it appropriate to say this? And you must be the mediator of what's appropriate. And remember that it is not necessarily going to be what you think other people think are appropriate. And plus, how many times have you discovered how saucy someone is? Well, I assure you, a lot of the people you think are all about how appropriate you should be, there's a lot of thinking and believing going on, are not so appropriate themselves. So you have to make this determination. And generally, you're going to stretch. That is the direction where something new happens, where something personally expressive happens, is in that stretch, violating the presumed social norm to some extent. And we'll come back to that. But this is like, don't pin this on anybody but you. Right? It's not about your great-grandparents. All right, next house. Third house. This is where there's a major focus of action. That for you is Aquarius. And Pluto continues its arrival in Aquarius all through 2024. Although I think that the big arrival is on the 20th of January when Pluto shows up, and then it'll spend most of the year all the way out through September in Aquarius. It'll dip back into Capricorn for about 10 weeks and then go back into Aquarius to stay for the next 20 years. So we are talking about what amounts to a permanent feature in our charts, Pluto and Aquarius. This is the longest Pluto's taken to go through a sign in our lifetimes. And for you, it is a house that talks about your mental abilities, third house, your mental approach and style, your local community, and also how you sell things. Now here too, because it's Aquarius, we have a conformity question. Aquarius is one of the most conformity demanding signs of the zodiac. It doesn't necessarily mean that all Aquarian people are that way, but you will find interesting issues around conformity with many people with a strong Aquarius signature. The moon tends to do better than the sun or the rising sign in terms of individuality and the ability to be flexible. The moon has to be flexible. It changes phases every couple of days, changes signs every 2.5 days. So it's constantly, rapidly on the move. But nonetheless, Aquarius has a kind of a dominating demand of conformity. And it does this largely through the imposition of and the creation of social patterns. What's about to happen, and I think that this is one of the most useful elements in your reading, is that you tend to completely internalize the social patterns of the community and then attempt to kind of live up to them in a way. That's not going to serve you at this time. Additionally, we are all about to experience some form of a shock to our sense of whatever the social pattern is, largely through the digital realm. I mean, imagine if the internet went out for a couple of days, or all social media were suspended for a couple of days. Would people know what to do? Would they know what to say to each other? Could they handle themselves without having all of these things that uphold the social pattern, controlling or heavily influencing their lives? Now, that all said, you have a moment where you can escape from any tendency to believe things are supposed to be a certain way, and that you have to conform or in any way live up to that. And the occasion for the moment is Pluto delivering what so far we haven't seen much of yet, except during Pluto and Capricorn, as being a radical shock to the whole arrangement of social norms. Now, the story of Pluto and Aquarius, I think it comes down to, if we have to A-B test it, it comes down to one, either groups suddenly having a huge amount more power, groups meaning anything from a corporation to a family to an informal circle of friends, suddenly having all of this enhanced power to enforce conformity on two people. We've seen that is very powerful in terms of what people do, what they will violate in their own values, what they will do to other people in terms of attempting to get other people to conform to what they think is right. And the other option is a kind of group initiation where groups wake up together and collectively take on a challenge, take on the idea of establishing new and more permissive norms, a situation where people are encouraged to make their own choices. Right now, what we have is a vibe in society of, if we believe it, then you better believe it. Who cares if the we don't really believe it? But if we say we believe it, then you better say you believe it. Otherwise, you're screwed. That is very different from a collective norm. And this hasn't happened very often, but it does happen. Where you are encouraged to make up your own mind. Where the fact of you maybe thinking a little bit differently is not make you some kind of a dangerous social dissident. Now, in between, and for that to happen, groups need to evolve together. And it's unfortunate that groups tend to evolve in the direction of social control. But that is something that is kind of high up on the docket that needs to change if we're going to get out of the situation that we're in. The third possibility laying between the two, and there's a lot of options on this one, is that individuals must reform their relationships to groups. And I mean, this is going to have to happen no matter what. It will happen no matter what. That individuals need to reconsider their being influenced by groups and why that is. And I think some need to consider the influence they wish to have over groups, maybe why they need to have so much. It's going to take each of us to decide that we do not want to live in a society that is fundamentally a cult. I mean, under Pluto and Aquarius conditions, we are looking at the fundamental unit of society being the cult, not the family, not the company, not some legitimate community of interest, but rather whoever can muster up the biggest cult following has the most influence, and then everything essentially being organized on the basis of you believe what we believe or else. And each one of us as individuals who have an interest in standing up to this, who understand how pernicious this is, are going to need to stand up to it and learn how to be our own people, despite the pressure not to be. This is extraordinarily prominent in your chart because it's taking place in your house of community and commerce. And so there's a second possible pitfall of allowing anyone else to determine what's appropriate for you, which is that you will, in effect, allow yourself to be in some way censored or shut down. Pluto in Aquarius is going to juice this angle of your chart up. It's going to bring a lot of power there. And the power that it brings is something either you can work with or that will work against you. So there's no question that the voltage in your house and your neighborhood are going to be turned up considerably. So then now we're back to your monitoring what is appropriate for you. What is your determination of what is right for you? And this goes from everything to the words you write, to the pictures that you make, to whatever music you might create, to what you put in your body, however you get it in there, whether it's eaten or injected or whatever it might be, your relationship to every single group around you is suddenly going to be shown in high relief. Easier to see. The shadows will be deeper. The illuminated parts will be brighter. And you will be existing in an ever greater contrast to the people around you. This is not for everyone. Many people cannot stand this. It is absolutely frightening. And it's all well and good to be a minor public figure in your Facebook circle, but then suddenly many in that position find it to be extremely uncomfortable when they are actually before a large audience or being scrutinized in some way. And there too is the challenge of, am I supposed to say something here to make these people happy? And your whole biopsychic reality absolutely essentially must go into self-determination mode, which is going to require you to be very sensitive to when people are pressuring you. Okay, next house. House 4. This is a tricky one for Sagittarius. It's Pisces, and house 4 is the foundation of the chart. It's like where the main beam in the chart goes into consciousness. And to have Pisces as the fourth house suggests that it's essential that you not be attached to your worldly principles, and that you not count on others to be attached to their worldly principles, so that you can establish yourself on the terms that you must, which are spiritual terms. Pisces is nothing if not spiritual. It's also creative in the sense that it is all about what has not existed before, but it's also the delta of Venus, where all that has ever existed kind of collects into this gulf, imagine the Mississippi River pouring into the Gulf of Mexico. That's Pisces. That place where the Gulf of Mexico receives the waters of the Mississippi, that is the quality of Pisces, constantly infused by whatever's going on in that water. And then this allows for the creation of all kinds of new elements and new possibilities there. So it is a bit of alpha and omega. Now, the thing is that Pisces is inherently insecure. The fourth is about security. So there has to be a real project of understanding the nature of your foundations and the nature of your true strength. Now, there's an interesting kind of drama playing out in the fourth house, which may have some reflection or expression in your family or your household. The long-term player there is Neptune, has been there since 2011. And so this is an unstable situation. It certainly looks a little bit like a flood zone. You want to be careful for that generally. And more recently, Saturn has arrived. That was just last year. Now, Saturn moves much more quickly than Neptune. There's going to be a conjunction very soon, but the conjunction is not going to be in Pisces. The conjunction is going to be in the first degree of Aries. We're going to get there in the next house. The presence of Saturn is imposing boundaries and limits in a way that it is basically impossible for Neptune to do. Neptune is all about overrunning the banks. It is all about shaping land with earthquakes and the idea that you can never stop water. This is this fallacy that people live with, that you can somehow stop water. You can't. Nothing is really waterproof. The water gets in or out no matter what, sooner or later. But what Saturn is doing is guiding a level of emotional containment. And so it may be a year of making big decisions about who you want in your life and why you want them there, who you want to consider family and why you would or wouldn't consider them that, on the basis of essentially their toxicity, on the basis of do they support you or do they tear you down? And there's unlikely to be much middle ground. Either someone is going to have a supportive and helpful effect, or they're going to have a detrimental effect. And the people who are supportive 4 days a week and tear you down the fifth day may not be supportive. And you want to get to what's going on that fifth day and really understand that and see if there's something there that is workable. Or if it's just like this is just basically the sand and the Vaseline. The other thing going on in the fourth is this Centaur planet. They're all about healing, so remember that. And Centaur Nessus is a longtime visitor to your fourth house. And here, let's see when it got there. I've got my nifty little ephemeris. It arrived in 14 and does not depart till the 2040s. So it's pretty much here to stay. And this is a very delicate balancing act around the consequences of actions and the consequences of choices. Where Nessus is present, it is necessary to raise the level of personal responsibility. This is a concept that is not very well liked in the days where the only social cachet that can be attained comes through being a victim in some way. And there's all this jockeying for victimhood. This does not work with Nessus present. With Nessus, there's the need to really be with your feelings, especially in the fourth and Pisces, to have an ongoing developing understanding of what it is that leads you to feel insecure or secure, and to understand that your feelings have consequences. So with Nessus, we can always just stick the words "have consequences" on to anything that Nessus makes contact with. Anything that Nessus touches will have that sense of consequences in the form of a kind of return of karma. It's a boomerang-shaped story. It goes out, it comes back. And therefore, one of the things to watch is the boomerang of anything involving any form of victimization. And to look at this scrupulously, rather than buying all of the excuses that society is offering now, including people who falsely claim to be victims and are actually perpetrators, still get to have their victim badge on, because who knows, they might have been a victim, or maybe they were a victim and became a perpetrator. It's all completely ridiculous. It's, I think, going to be important to keep track of Saturn's approach to Nessus. Saturn's taking a similar approach to Nessus as it is to Neptune, in that the conjunction is not going to happen for a while. It's going to come within 1 degree in July. So that's a very important event called, around here, a close call conjunction. And then Saturn will retreat back. So it's going to be closing in on the main issue for a while before it actually gets there in more than a year from now. I think that the conjunction is going to be, I do have a lot of charts around. I think it's going to be February of 2025. So, but it comes within a year, a degree in the summer. And there should be quite a few opportunities to clear out lingering and remaining issues. Now, there's been a lot going on with the second house, Capricorn, and the way that family material holds over and in some way influences your sense of right and wrong, appropriate or not. And there's still plenty of that coming through. The fourth, in a similar way, can talk about the influence of early family, the influence of present family. And the question to keep asking yourself is, when you think someone believes something, or when they say something, you've got to go right to the chase and say, is this person mentally balanced? Are they capable of making such a statement? Do they have any idea what they're talking about? Or are they completely hallucinating? It is a fair question for you to ask of anyone. Does this person seem like they're high on acid rather than Starbucks? And get on top of people with strong views, or with views that are sly and manipulative. And check yourself when you can. Does this feeling you're experiencing make any sense? Does this opinion that you have based on a feeling, fourth house, all going to be based on a feeling? It's not going to be based on a rational concept. That's back in the third house. Pluto's coming, not especially a rational actor himself. But, ask if any of this passes the smell test. Figure out what people's motives are. There is a lot of lingering familial material indicated in Sagittarius solar chart generally, and especially now. And when I get into the next two houses, which is really where the payoff is, you'll see why I'm being so meticulous about making sure that you're the one making your decisions, and that you're the one who is determining what is right for you, which is the most important decision that you can make, but it's also the one that is the most elusive and evasive, because it's been co-opted so many times before. Dawn Chorus from Boards of Canada, Boards of Scotland. Okay, we are up to the houses where the real fun is. They are for your Aries and Taurus. Aries is the first fire sign after Sagittarius. Therefore, it is the fifth house, fifth place, fifth solar house, fifth whatever, all the same. And the fifth is where we are said to seek pleasure, fun, recreation. It has a lot to do with how children perceive the world, the making of children, and then everything created to art and creativity in any form. And where we have Aries, wherever it may be in a chart, is a primary locus of identity. It's almost like no matter what your chart is, wherever you have Aries is where you are going to seek to find yourself. And you'll do that seeking in the style of the house, you know, by means of the house placement. The house talks about the expression. The sign talks about the fundamental energy. It talks about the ruling planet. It just describes things by element. But the house is how you and where you express yourself. So somebody with Aries, the 10th house, is likely to have a very strong focus of orientation on professional activities. Scorpio has Aries on the 6th solar house, and this is why Scorpios absolutely must do a job that they personally identify with and see themselves. It is dangerous to not do that, to go to work every day where you feel like you can't be yourself. You have Aries in the fifth house, the house of radical self-expression, taking the risk of self-expression. It is the house where you're going to seek to take chances. So it's the house of gaming, gambling, adventure sports, bungee jumping. But also this embraces ordinary forms of play. And in the fifth, the most accessible way that we experience the fifth is either generally by sports or by art. It depends on who you are. And I'm gonna lean in the direction. Look, it could be a very good year competitively for you if you're a competitive athlete. You will definitely want to guard your weak spots and you know, work out properly, warm up properly, and all that. And not try to start the triathlon cold, but let's stick to the creative piece and the self-actualization piece that you are likely to make some tremendous strides in whatever form of self-expression is really about you. And if you've been looking for a long time to make a discovery. Now, the reason I can say these things, and I'm not even meekly exaggerating, is because on the 8th of April, there is this absolutely ridiculously extraordinary eclipse in Aries in your fifth house, and it is conjunct to no arc. I can't even believe this. I've got to look at a thing that goes out to more decimal places and see how many arc seconds it's exact by, but it's exact to 1/60th of a degree. That's 23,060ths of a degree in the total zodiac. 23,060ths. This eclipse is conjunct Chiron to 1/23,000th of the wheel. Not a sign, not a degree, not a decanate. No. And all the more important because of Chiron always in some way serving as a mode of expression or application of Chiron. So it's almost as if Chiron is born in Sagittarius. Now, there's two places that Chiron has this kind of strong birth feeling, and several where it's quite exalted, but the birth part seems to come from sign of the centaur itself, Sag. And then there's a healing and method application in the 10th, Virgo, for you, the 10th house. And the way I see your chart is that there's the kind of need to have some 10th house expression, and that's going to come through an inner orientation rather than the usual outer orientation of 10th house work, where you're building your reputation out in the world in some way. There's a bit of they come to you here, where it's not about, you know, promoting yourself in some way, hanging up signs or social media or bad campaigns on Sirius XM or whatever, but rather the internal focus is essential. The stay in your studio and do the work that you need to do, and follow the calling, follow the inspiration that you have. This is very important for threading a certain needle of personal healing. I mean, there's no way to have Chiron so exact in your chart to an eclipse. I mean, it's an event so rare as an eclipse, which is a meeting in three different dimensions, basically longitude, declination, and time. So the eclipse is a multidimensional experience because it adds the precise aspect that is almost never true in a planetary aspect of essentially the planets cover each other. Usually it's one's a little over, a little below. Now they cover each other at the exact moment that Chiron is right there. The healing potential here is astounding. And that's another reason why I think that the necessity to focus this inwardly toward yourself and toward your work is the true direction of aspiration, because there is no external result needed. The result needed is an internal healing result, the connection of something, the fulfillment of something that is missing. Now, Chiron in the fifth, which you've had since 2018, it's going to last about 3-4 more years, is always about experience. This is the central metaphor when I began with the Jimi Hendrix song. What I'd like to know is, are you experienced? Well, this is about getting experience. And I think in our time, it's possible that many people think they're a lot more experienced than they are, considering that it's, you know, given the magic of digital, it's possible to seem like you know a lot when you don't, and to have a lot of experience when you actually don't, and all that. I think that for the sake of getting the most from this aspect and this event, underestimate your experience level, and at the same time, try to maximize the experience that you have in terms of what's taught you. But I would figure, you know, you haven't experienced probably, you know, 95% of what you are going to experience. Some big number there, some big percentage of non-verses have. And more than that, stay in the process of learning. Understand that there's very little that is set in stone or black and white, and that there must be a lot of wiggle room and the suspension of prejudice and expectation to actually learn. So it takes a lot of being mindful and present and not judging every last thing on the basis of some expectation that you have, to actually engage yourself and learn from experience. And that's the real teacher, is just to jump in and do it, whether you think you can or not. And I'm not saying do this for some public display, but rather for private growth, experimentation, exploration, and enriching yourself in some way. Now, the appropriateness factor is in this house. That is a minor planet called Stellatia. And Stellatia is currently in holding and will be holding an aspect to all the remaining stuff in early Capricorn. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on in early Capricorn that is all related to family, as this theme has been going on for quite a while now. But now we're past the place where it's necessary for this to be some kind of a control element, where you can tap directly in to the wisdom of your ancestors. But my reading on this is, you will know that you're doing that when the question of appropriateness comes up. That's your cue. Like, that's like a bell going off to say, where's the wisdom in this? What do I need to be doing here? How do I determine whether something is appropriate? And what I'm very directly saying is, don't back off and assume that it's not. Don't back off and assume you can't have that thing be heard or seen or known about you in some way. The chances are that this is the very opposite. But monitor that conversation going on. Who's trying to influence you? Who? What lingering, lurking voices in the back of your mind? What ghost spirits are speaking through you in some way to limit you? I would propose that if we were to all take a survey of all of our ancestors, the overwhelming majority opinion would be, I wish I hadn't let myself be so dictated by what other people think. I wish I wouldn't have tried to fit in so much. I really think easily 2/3, 3/4 would have said, Jesus, why was I so uptight? Why was I so hung up? So you don't have to make that mistake. You can push limits without taking the kinds of risks that people are afraid that pushing limits takes. And okay, so maybe there'll be some consequence of something at some point. Maybe someone will get pissed off. Well, who fucking cares? Be mindful in employment situations. Things that are distasteful for their own sake or generally broadcast. This is not a time in your life to be generally broadcasting your ideas. This is a time to be working them out in the art studio and working them out in direct experience. One other influence is Eris, and this has been in Aries pretty much since before almost all of us were born. The Eris and Aries era starts in 1922. It's fully underway by around 1926. There's not that many people left on the planet who were born between 1922 and 1926. We pretty much, almost all of us, have Eris in Aries at this point. And this has been a powerful source of fragmentation and of the idea, corresponding idea, that a person is a social construction of some kind instead of like a living, holistic, biological and emotional being, entity. And the other side of Eris is this inherent whole-seeking quality that it has, a whole-seeking quality. And Chiron is doing this as well. Chiron especially, I find it a little easier to describe it coming out of Chiron, but I'm starting to come around to how they have a similar intent, particularly placed in Aries, particularly during the digital age. So with Chiron, the way I would say it is that the whole seeking property of Chiron, the quest is to make sure that all the seeming parts of yourself are talking to all the seeming other parts of yourself. You can't sequester any part of yourself and then not experience some significant power drain in your psychic power. Because there's it's almost like tying a tourniquet around a finger. I mean, your whole body is not going to feel good if you've got a tourniquet around your finger. So you want to remove the tourniquets, let the blood flow, and then get all these seeming facets talking to one another. Eventually, you'll figure out that they're not separate. bits, not separate parts, not separate identities. This is completely illusory, but it's convincing. And one of the ways you convince yourself that it's not true is to experiment. And you get the prude part of you talking with the part of you that wants to fuck three people and see what the conversation says. See what comes out of that and decide who you should listen to, basically, what's going on beneath this such a debate, such a discussion. Speaking of having sex with however many people, Chiron in the fifth is a distinctly sexual element. Did I even mention the fifth covers a large facet of the best of what we want from sex, which is a sense of play and co-creation and inspiration? It's very different from eighth house sex, which has this kind of urgency to it and can be about commitment and also is a very instinctual, the eighth house. But the fifth house is more intuitive and playful and calls for experience. If only I had to say one thing every day, I would say let yourself have the experiences that you want to have. Figure out how to do that. Find a place and start. Find a place and begin to have the experiences. A lot of bisexual people roaming around who never get to have sex with somebody of the same sex because it's inappropriate. Well, for example, if you're bisexual, maybe tell your partner if they don't already know and say, hey, by the way, I know I never mentioned this, or I maybe mentioned it when we were dating, and figure out a way to start having the experiences that you want, by which I do mean sexual experiences. Life is short, and so far as we know, we only get to be in this form once, or any form once. There's no proof of reincarnation. A lot of evidence, but there's no proof. Well, what exactly are you waiting for, and who exactly are you trying to impress? So this, too, comes back to the question of you have to determine your own form of appropriateness. I realize there's a lot of pushback going on right now, a lot of conservative backlash, and thinking that discussing today with somebody about how David Bowie didn't ruin the upstanding morals of the United States by gender bending and taking cocaine. I mean, that he was just being David Bowie, right? He can play 22 instruments also. Good luck doing that. There. Next house. Jupiter involved. Another ruling planet of Sagittarius. The glorious conclusion, except for the encore, which will be Jupiter conjunct Sedna. In April, again, April, big month, almost seems like the whole year hinges around April. On the 20th, Jupiter makes its once per 13-14 year conjunction to Uranus, one of the great aspects in all of astrology. You can almost do no wrong with Jupiter conjunct Uranus, but there is a lot of expression, a lot of expansion, a lot of potential, a lot of power, new thoughts being thunk, old thoughts being thunk in new ways. This is not everyone's cup of tea. Takes all types. But you, being who you are, you may find this to be absolutely wildly enlightening and expanding and bold and adventurous and exciting. And I wish that for you, because this is good stuff. And it's not coming back, at least not anytime soon. 13 years is quite a while from now. And the way the world is, we can't be foreseeing 13 years, so have it now while it's hot. It's been hanging around. So here too is a similar expression of what's going on in the fifth, but it's much bolder and more tangible. Taurus is more tangible. Jupiter is the most solid of the gas giant planets. It's denser than Saturn. People say, "Oh, Saturn's a planet of structure." Well, yeah, that's true, but Jupiter is not only massively larger, 1,300 times the size of the Earth. Can you imagine a planet 1,300 times the size of the Earth, which is pretty big of its own, and denser than Jupiter, Saturn, with I think something like 90 satellites. It's a whole cosmos of its own. That's your ruling planet, conjunct Uranus, the planet of revolution, revelation, enlightenment, excitement, disruption. A bit of the suspension of right and wrong. That's a pitfall of anything with Uranus involved. Just get to remember to always have your finger on the pulse of what's appropriate for you. And remember that a lot of old fogies are trying to tell you what is not appropriate for you, except for the ones that all voted for, I wish I could have done more. I wish I would have let myself kiss that boy. I wish I would have taken that audition for chorus. I wish I had, I wanted to play the clarinet. I wish I had let myself do that. I wanted to take drums, but they made me take flute. Let's end this. This absolute, looking for the right word here, cosmic scale expansion of your potential is happening now. But you always have to be aware of your quality as a probe in your environment, including your immediate proximate environment. Keep your senses on. And I dare say, let yourself be a little more free than you might have been. If you feel yourself clench up and think, absolutely not going to, I'll think about that first. Give it a day or two and think it over. You want to err on the side of being bold with this astrology, that's really you don't have to be that bold, but maybe you will. Maybe you'll think that this is when I'm doing it. This is when I must get there. This is when I must do that thing. Remember that Sagittarius is the sign of the quest. And so to have your questing spirit with you at all times, highly activated. I mean, this incredible Chiron activation by a total solar eclipse to the arc minute. I don't even have any words to describe this. So the sixth house, though, as does the fifth, the sixth house says the way that you handle all this potential is that you just focus on what you're doing and then you leave your senses on. It's not about focusing on what you're doing and cutting off from everything and everyone. It's a kind of a balance of persisting with the daily experiment, coming back to it every day, coming back after a bad day, coming back after a day when you stopped for 3 days. I'm a musician. It's very difficult for me. If I can't get myself to play 4 or 5 days in a row, like that time I finally do it is like, okay, this is going to be stupid, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then suddenly it's not. Suddenly I'm making music or I write something beautiful. And I think that the sheer volume increase in potential in itself may be a little bit daunting. And I wouldn't, think that you need to live up to anything as much as give yourself a chance to explore and experiment with what you think are the best and most important ideas that you have. Or the single one you want the most. How about that? Because this is like being given wild cards. I mean, this is really, you're really being given like kind of four aces and a joker in this reading. And sure, it's possible to screw that up. Possible to do brilliantly. So hang loose. The other thing, the very last thing, and this is kind of the second conclusion, is that, and I don't fully know what to make of this because we all have so little experience with this thing called Sedna. Discovered 2002, 21 years ago. It's in the scattered disk. It has an 11,400-year orbit. It is named for the Inuit goddess of creation and the creation of food, mainly in the form of whales and porpoises and dolphins and various cetaceans and all those smooth-bodied sea creatures of the north are the children of Sedna, made from her body. Her body fell apart in the icy waters and became all spawned all of these different species of critters who most of us just absolutely love and adore. There is Sedna's been in Taurus since the late 60s. Now it's changing signs for the first time since the late 60s and will be joined by Jupiter. And it's changing signs into your relationship house. The conjunction from Jupiter is going to take place probably May or June. So it's in the spring, Northern Hemisphere spring. And apart from notice what's happening in your relationships, that's the best I can say. Because when there's completely new astrology, so the astrology is Sedna changes signs, Sedna changes houses in your chart from the 6th to the 7th to the relationship house, meaning that you enter into a more direct relationship to whatever this deep creative force of Sedna, remember the force that creates the whales and the dolphins and the sea lions and all those people. And then, though it is extremely distant, something like 80 astronomical units away from the sun, how far is Sedna? Currently 82 times the distance of the Sun-Earth system, 82 AUs. It is about to be magnified, picked up on by Jupiter, your ruling planet, which is going to have a, there's some information that's going to be conveyed in this meeting. There's going to be a kind of a reinforming of your principles and values in relationship. Discovering something entirely new. And from the story of Sedna, which is somewhat long and involved and convoluted, and there was once at UAC, I think UAC 2008 or something, there was like one night, it was a 4-hour, it went on so long that I left, a dramatization of the myth of Sedna. But don't be too picky. Give people a chance. Watch out for people who seem like they're too picky and don't want to just have some fun. What you want to do is have some fun and see who's willing to have some fun with you. And I would veer away from considering people suitors. Consider people potential companions rather than suitors who need to be identified or assessed on their value as something like a spouse or something like that, or a permanent partner or something like that. Go out for a run of some kind and see what the energy is like. Just check people out. And because you're always looking at Gemini, it's your seventh house, check them out till you meet several of their facets, including people you don't necessarily like very much, but you also don't know very much about. That's most of what I have to say. I have certainly primed the pump for somewhere in between the 2024 reading. And who knows if I'm going to have some afterthoughts. If I do, I'll probably put them in there. But I think I've conveyed the things that I think you absolutely must know about your astrology for this year. It should be an exciting one. Get it while it's hot, baby. Thanks for listening. Lots of love. And bye for now.